Okay, today's daf is Tzadi Vav. We're going to go back a little bit to Tzadi Heh Amabed, about 12 or 13 lines from the bottom. Ba'amine Rafuna Me'rav. Okay, it was a very interesting sugi yesterday. Unfortunately, we didn't get to learn it together. It started with Tzadi Heh Amad Aleph in the middle, when Rav says, Basar kevan shenitalei min ha'ayin asur. Okay, very important statement of Rav, that if you have a piece of meat and then all of a sudden you don't see it anymore, so it's forbidden. Because the concern is that maybe a bird, you had a piece of meat that was kosher, and then you look back a few minutes later, maybe a bird swapped it with another piece of meat. I know I have all the time, birds drop things. Well, like I found a bone the other day that a bird dropped in.
Someone put the ravens in particular are always looking for the nicest piece of meat. So if they see a different one, and there's even a Greek myth about it, they'll drop that one to pick up a better looking one.
Nice. Okay.
The kid who was leading Shir said if you're on El Al and they bring you lunch, and it's you go to the bathroom, and the guy next to you has his own pork sandwich because he's not, you can't eat your sandwich, right? Because you don't know whether he's thought yours looked better and switched it up.
Okay, that's interesting.
He's halakha.
Interesting, I don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, what we now have is we're going to now discuss what if you can identify that this looks like your El Al sandwich and not like a pork sandwich, right? If it's identifiable. So now we're going to talk about simanim, okay, which sounds like in Bava Metzia, when we talked about finding something and somebody asks, and, they try to get their item back using simanim. So we're going to talk about this. Ba'imine Rav Huna Me'rav. B'charuzin Mahu. This also came up, by the way, in Eilu Metziot. If you see meat hanging in charuzin, it's like they would strung the meat together, like in a butcher shop, in which case you don't have to worry, right, that a bird came and snatched it and stuck another one because he couldn't have strung it. So Amar le al teyeshote b'charuzin harezesimah. Don't be an idiot that you're asking me this question, right? It doesn't exactly make someone feel good when they ask such a question, and you say you're an idiot for asking that question. Of course, charuzin harezesimah. Ika de Amre, and this is a better version of the story, that Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, that it wasn't that Rav Huna asked Rav, it was that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, b'charuzin harezesimah. Just was kovea that this is the halach. Rav Nachman min Hardea, ikla lebe Rav Kahana lepum nahara b'male yoma de kipuri. Okay, we had another story recently. It happened on Erev Yom Kippur. This also happened on Erev Yom Kippur, where Rav Nachman came before Rav Kahana on Erev Yom Kippur. Atu orve shade kavde v'kulita. The orvim came, the ravens came, as you said, and they threw down some liver and some kidneys. Amar le shkol ve'echol ha'idna de'hetera shachiyach tfei. You can go take it and eat it, because right now it's more common that there's meat that was shechted properly than wasn't. And why is that? This we saw recently about Erev Yom Kippur. It was one of the days where there was a lot of shchitas going on because people ate a lot. And therefore one can assume, based on Rav, that it's fine. Rav Chiya bar Avin itabid le karkashta b'ne dani. Okay, that seems to be a different girsa. Benedani, he lost a piece of meat. I think it's the hind part of the meat. He lost a piece of meat between, it fell down in between the barrels of wine. Ata lekameja Rav Huna, they came before Rav Huna and asked him what to do. Amarle, itle simana begavaya. He says, do you have a siman? Can you identify, can you tell us some identifying feature of what?
And he found it again.
Oh, he obviously found the piece of meat, yes. He lost it and he found it. They brought the piece, they brought the case before Rav Huna. Can I eat it? Because again, it was a case where he didn't see it in between. What happened? Maybe a bird picked it up. So he says, do you have a siman? Can you identify that this is your piece of meat? Amar Leilo, he says, no, I don't have any sort of, identifying feature. Eat lach tfiut eine begave. Can you say, I recognize it? Okay, if you look at it, you say, oh, I recognize this piece of meat. So he says, Amar le'in, he says, yes, I do, I can. Imkein zil shkol, he says, okay, that's sufficient. Okay, so now we're going to get into what the different, right, when we rely on tfiut ayin and when we rely on simanim. Okay, what would you think would be better, stronger, simanim or identifying it?
Right?
Simanim should be better because it's something objective, okay, but we're going to see that not so clear. Okay, let's just, before we even go on, let's just talk about it when it comes to mitziot. If you find something, you lose something and somebody found it. So, right, classic, right, they'll say to you, okay, this just happened to my daughter. She left some stuff on the bus and it was her wallet and earphones that we just bought And so she called the bus company, and she lost a few other things. Anyway, she said, I lost this, that, you know. And then she said, earphones. They said, what color were the earphones? She said, blue. So the woman said, oh, actually, they're black. So I won't give them back to you unless you tell me what brand they were. Okay, luckily, we had ordered them on Amazon, and I was able to look up, like, what the brand was, because otherwise, like, who pays attention to even what brand of earphones? It was a junky pair of earphones. It wasn't like, you know, some fancy schmancy. So anyway, it was lucky that I still had that, but she wasn't willing to give it back to her because she said the wrong color. She needed, like, a Siman, you know, they were, what type of earphones they were. Even though it seemed odd to me because they were with all the other stuff, it seemed a little strange. Anyway, so Simanim are generally what we say, right? There's something, there is this brand, is this something, it's the color, right? You ask a bunch of things. Tfiyut Ayin means, right, so she would give her the earphones and she'd say, do these look like your earphones? Now, obviously, when it comes to Metzia, you're going to be much more believable if you give Simanim without actually looking at the item, right? That seems classic. So the Gemara actually poskens that Tfiyut Ayin doesn't work by Metzia, except for in what case? Tamid Chacham. Okay, Tamid Chacham, we believe him b'tviyut ayin. Okay, so we're going to talk about this. We'll get back to it soon as to why that's the reason. But we're going to see that in this sugya, it's somewhat different. Now, what's the concern with Metzia? The concern is that you're worried about your financial loss, right? And therefore, we don't allow tviyut ayin because you so much want this item that you might lie about it. Whereas, I'll already go into the different opinions about the Tamid Chacham. So one opinion is, the Tamid Chacham is trustworthy. We don't think he's lying. However, there's another approach about the Tamid Chacham, and they say the Tamid Chacham is much more capable of recognizing something, of paying attention to details, which is a very interesting approach, right? To say the Tamidei Chachamim are inherently different in terms of their, you know, their how they would identify things. So anyway, some people say that it has to do with that they can, it doesn't have to do with lying. And if you say it's lying, by the way, that we're worried that you want the item, then we believe in Am Haaretz, number one, if we have proof that he's trustworthy in general, or number two, if he's saying Simanim for somebody else, and it's not him, because then we're not worried, he's lying for his own sake. Again, maybe he'd have to prove he's not lying for his friend's sake, but usually we're not usually worried that people are going to do that. But some people say that Talmidei Chachamim are smarter, right? And that's why, right, there's the whole Talmudic, right? They view Talmidei Chachamim in a different light. And because of that, it's that they can actually, their recognition is better, which is a very interesting approach. Either which way, it's somewhat, you know, not politically correct either way to say either they're more trustworthy or they're...
Right, well, it's we, right? The people who are writing this are Talmidei Chachamim.
Right,
like,
right.
We're, it's more trustworthy, true. Or we're smart. But it's...
Right, right. It's somewhat problematic that these kind of statements come up in the Gemara. They clearly view this as a hierarchy. So he allows this piece of meat to be eaten based on Tfiyut Ayin. Rav Chanina Chozai Tabile Gaba de Bisra. He lost a back piece of the hind piece of a piece of meat. Ata lekamed Rav Nachman. So then they find it and they bring it before Rav Nachman. Amar le itlach simane begave. Amar le lo itlach tviyat eni begave. Amar le in. Same exact story, right? Just it was a different thing that was lost, and it wasn't lost between the chaviot. It just he lost it and then found it. So they allowed it based on recognition. So Amar le im kenzi oshko. Right, you could take it. Rav Natan bar Abayi, David le kibura de tchelet. He lost a spool of tchelet, right? Tchelet thread. Ata le kamed Rav Chista, amar le idlach simane begave, amar le lo. Idlach tfiyat ene begave, do you recognize it? Amar le in. And he says, im kein zil shkol. Okay, you can take this. Amar Rava, mireisha hava amina simana adif mitviyut ene. Exactly as you said, right? I would have thought that simanim are stronger than tfiyut ayin. Daha mahadrina navedata v'simana, because avedot we return based on simanim. The lo mahadrina b'tviyut ene, right? Unless you're a talmid chacham, right? We don't allow it b'tviyut ayin. But hashta deshamatinu lahane shmatita. But now that I heard all these stories that you just told, where tviyut ayin was sufficient, amina. And here he says something very interesting. Amina tviyut ena adifa. Okay, it seems to me that Tfiyut Ayin is actually better than Simanim. Now, this is really interesting, right? Recognizing something is stronger than giving a Siman as to, right, which type of, you know, which brand of earphones they were, what color, right? Imagine, think about it. In that context, it makes a lot of sense. What are the Simanim for that? Well, they were black Panasonic earphones, okay? Now, black Panasonic earphones, right? I know at my house, right, a bunch of people have the same earphones, and they always say, oh, that one's mine. Oh, no, right? Right? You need some much more specific siman, but they, when they look at it, they can recognize it. But you can't always identify it with an external siman, right? You could just sort of tell, oh, you know, it looks like mine for whatever reason. I was thinking about this when you think about a lineup. Right, when they take a lineup, right, it's based on recognizing. It's not based on a siman necessarily. I remember the guy at a mole on his, but it's...
And they have found that those are so unreliable.
Yes. Like, right. Well, that's another problem, that they're very unreliable. Right.
You know, visual recognition is practically
is very,
out of court. I mean,
right. Exactly. So that's part of what's going on here, is visual recognition. Like here they're actually saying visual recognition is better. Whether that's true or not is another... Now, first of all, it's a little strange that he says it's adifa, because none of these cases actually show that they were better. In fact, first they asked about simanim. When you didn't have simanim, then they resorted to tefiyat ayin. But we're going to see, hold off a little more, and then we're going to see maybe why he says it's adifa. De'ilo te'mahachi, if you don't say it's adifa, right, or we can't rely on tefiyat ayin, at least there's a debate about whether this means they're equal, that tefiyat ayin can replace simanim, or maybe even it's better. Okay, so here they give a really interesting case. Hey, ach suma mutar b'ishto, u'bnei adam eich mutarim b'neshotehem v'alayla. Okay? Ela b'tfiyut eina dekala, hachinami b'tfiyut eina. Okay, now it's a blind person. How can he sleep with his wife at night? How does he know it's really his wife? He recognizes her voice, right? He recognizes this is his wife. Okay, this is crazy to think about. I know that who else would be in his bed necessarily, but okay. And how are, now this is also in light of our time, it's hard to understand this, but anyone, how could they be mutar to their wives at night? Because it's pitch black in the room. They don't have lights in their room. And how did they know? Maybe, right? We didn't switch Rachel and Leah or something, right? I don't know exactly what they're thinking about. But basically, what do they assume, right? We rely on the fact to allow people to sleep with their wives at night without having to identify her. We rely on the fact that he recognizes her voice or her smell or something like that. Very strange, Gemara. And here, right, so here you need, right, here it doesn't necessarily say it's better, but it's at least as good. Am Rav Yitzchak Bered Rav Masharshia, Teda De'ilu Atu Betray. Now here we're going to show it's actually better. Okay, if two witnesses come and say, Va'amre, Planya Dehai Simane, Vahai Simane, Katil Nafsha. If you say, I saw this guy and he was wearing this shirt and this, you know, he was wearing a black shirt with a design on it, you know, this design on it, lo katlina le, okay? We don't, if we see a guy wearing the same shirt, right, we don't kill based on that, okay? We don't kill based on simani. Vilu amre lan, here's the lineup case. Eat lan tfiut ene bigave, katlina le. But if he recognizes him from a lineup and he says, I know that's the guy, right, this is classic, this always goes on in court, right? That's the person exactly that I saw, which again, as Ruth pointed out, it's clearly the case and see it all the time that people, especially if it's someone from a different ethnic group, right, where the features are less familiar and they all kind of look the same, right, it's very problematic. But they say also, according to halacha, we use tefiyut ayin rather than simanim in a case like this. So there you see the tefiyut ayin is actually better than simanim. Amar Rav Ashi, teida de'ilu amar le inish l'shluche. Again, we're going to see a case where tefiyut ayin is stronger. Somebody says to shaliach, karye leplanya, dehai simane b'hai simane, right, go bring this to, or go, Kari Laplan, I guess, call him, okay, go invite, or so-and-so, and he looks like this, right? You think the guy's going to find him based on, if you describe, he has brown hair and blue eyes, and his hair is shoulder length, you know, try to describe a person with simanim, right? Safek yadale, safek lo yadale, right? And it's safek whether he's going to find the guy or not. But if he recognizes the guy, he knows what he looks like, then right? As soon as he sees him, he'll know this is the person. So there you see the tefiyut ayin is stronger than simanim. Okay, very interesting interesting sugi here. Tosfot actually says, look at the top Tosfot, Loma Hadrina b'tefiyut ayin. Tema deshani hatam dechashtina andilma mishaker she'eno shelo, right? Then he's talking about the, right, In Metzia, it's different. Anyway, the main point of Tosfot is he distinguishes between, if you look at the fourth line, Dehainu b'tfiyut ayin gamur. Kol hanim lo ayalem tfiyut ayin gamur. V'yilav hachi ma'ayal l'sheel. In other words, he starts to make, and the Ritva kind of builds on it, and the Ritva says, right, that when they when they say you can return it to a tzuvah merabanan, a talmid chacham, b'tviyot einei, it's a tviyot einei dechashiv. And he starts to distinguish between things, right, recognizing something a high level versus a mid-level versus a low level. Like, there's different types of recognition. And this could also be with a lineup, right? In other words, there's ways of doing lineups that can check more carefully to how well do you really recognize. And I couldn't actually figure out if he's distinguishing between how strong they recognize it, or how strongly, or whether it's certain things are more like the tefiot ayin, and it would be more clear than other items. Anyway, it's interesting. And then again, there's this distinction, just to remind you, about whether the reason we believe Talmidei Chachamim is either because they're less likely to lie, or because maybe their tefiot ayin is stronger, their ability to distinguish is better. Okay. Okay, new Mishnah. Hanotel gid hanashet, tzarich sheyitol et kulo. If you take out the gid hanashet, you have to remove the entire gid. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kedei lekayem bo mitzvah netila. Okay, he says, you just have to... this is, by the way, this is the machloket, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, we saw before. It's that Rabbi Meir says, you told a kulo, you have to lechateit, remember, you have to dig kind of deep in to get it out from everywhere. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you just have to take it out. Once you take out the top part, it's fine. You don't have to go all the way in.
You have to leveling it.
Right, you just kind of cut it off at a certain level, and that's sufficient. Ha'ochel migid anashek kezayit, sofeg arba'in. If you eat a kezayit, you get 40 lashes. Achlo ve'embo kezayit, if you eat the whole gid, but it doesn't have a kezayit, chayav. Remember, we learned this machloka. This is a good review Mishnah, because we already saw it quoted a bunch of times. And the Mishnah was a review, but for us who learned the Gemara already quoted this, that you're going to get 40 lashes if you eat the entire thing, even if there's not a kezayit. Achal mizek kezayit u'mizek kezayit, if you eat from from both sides, a kezayit of one and a kezayit of the other, sofeg shmonim, Rabbi Yehuda omeri no sofeg ela arba'im. Right? In other words, remember, he holds that both sides are not problematic, right? Only the right side. Again, remember, da'ato note, right? Da'ati note, that it's the right side. What that meant was a whole debate. But he basically says you're only going to get 40 lashes as long as you ate a kezayit of one of them. You're going to get 40 lashes. And Chachamim say, no, you're high for both sides, and therefore you're going to get 80. Okay, the Gemara starts out with bar piule, it's a person. Bar piule kai kame de Shmuel, was standing before Shmuel. V'kamanakir itma, and he took out the yerech, right? He was taking out the gid from the yerech. Hava kagaimle, he was just cutting it off like Rabbi Yehuda. Amarle chavad beit fe, we saw this line before, right? Go dig down further. Hashta lo chazitech svita li isura. He says, I can't believe, Shmuel says to him, if I hadn't seen you do this, you would have fed me Isser. He sounds like he's kind of angry at him, right? In other words, wow, good that I noticed that you weren't doing a proper job on this. Irtat, so Bar Piule got very scared. He was a little set back by this. Wow, you know, you scared me by what you said. Nafal sakina miyade, his knife falls to the ground. It's interesting, you think something bad's going to happen like those other stories of people committed suicide. No, it doesn't have a bad ending, but I think they're trying to say his knife fell like he got so scared, something could have happened when that happened. Amarle lo tirta. So Shmuel says, no, don't be so upset. De orelach ki Rabbi Yehuda orelach. The person who taught you halacha taught you like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, it's not like you were going to feed me chazer treif. You were relying on Rabbi Yehuda. Just, I don't rely on Rabbi Yehuda, so I'm glad I caught you, and I noticed that you were doing it like Rabbi Yehuda. He says, don't worry so much. So Amar Rav Shesha. Now we're going to have a statement of Rav Shesha about Bar Piule, about this story. But then we're going to have two versions of what actually Rav Shesha said. Amar Rav Shesha. My deshako Bar Piule de'oraita l'Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, what he took out was, he was doing was de'oraita l'Rabbi Yehuda. Michlal de'shir de'rabanan l'Rabbi Yehuda. How do we read this? Michlal de'shir de'rabanan l'Rabbi Yehuda. Right. De'shir de'rabanan, I was confusing de'rabanan with the rabbis and de'rabanan versus de'oraita. Okay. De'shir de'rabanan, in other words, what was left for Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda is Asur Mija Rabbanan. In other words, it sounds like what he's saying is, Rabbi Yehuda says cut it off, right? You don't have to go further down. So they were saying what he was doing, what he did, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he was doing what was necessary to Oraita, which means that it sounds like that what? That whatever he left over was actually Asher Midrabanan the Rabbi Yehuda. Ela da'orele, kaman orele. If that's the case, it doesn't make any sense though. Because whoever, what did Shmuel say? You were holding like Rabbi Yehuda. But if according to Rabbi Yehuda, Midrabanan, you had to be mechateit, then he wasn't holding like anybody. And as whoever taught him improperly according to this. So therefore, it couldn't be that that's what Ravashi said, Rav Sheshet said. And again, Rav Sheshet said, what Barpila took out was, the do'oraita for Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning that Midrabanan, Rabbi Yehuda needs mechateit. And that makes no sense, because then he really wasn't doing lahalacha, certainly on a Midrabanan level. So, Ela Amar Rav Sheshet, it must be Rav Sheshet said something else. My Deshaker Bapiule, one second, the Aleph, to Oraita le Rabbi Meir. Okay, what he did was to Oraita according to Rabbi Meir. Umay Deshir, to Rabbanan le Rabbi Meir. Okay, in other words, then, right, what he meant to say was, even Rabbi Meir, who holds that you have to be mechateit, only thinks that that's derabanan. So what he was doing, it's true, was Rabbi Yehuda all the way. But even according to Rabbi Meir, he was at least yotze mida oraita. Okay? Rabbi Meir's shita. And what he left over and wasn't mechateit and didn't go all the way in, that was only derabanan the Rabbi Meir, de'i Rabbi Yehuda, filu midrabanan shari. Because if it was Rabbi Yehuda, right, then Rabbi Yehuda obviously thinks that even midrabanan, you don't have to be mechateit, and that's why he said in the Mishnah very clearly that you don't need to. Ha'ochel migid ha'nashe. Okay, now we're going to the line. Ha'ochel migid ha'nashe kezayit sofei garba'im. Amar Shmuel, lo asra Torah, ela she'al ha'kaf bilvad. Shmuel says, the Torah only forbade the part that's on the kaf hayerech, meaning you don't have to actually remove the entire gid hanasheh. You only have to remove the part that's by the kaf. This is new. We haven't really heard this. Shnei, I don't think we got to this at all. Shneamar al kaf hayerech. Okay, because it says al kein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael gid hanasheh asher al kaf hayerech adayom hazeh kinagaf bekaf yerech Yaakov begid hanasheh. So it sounds like it's only what's near the top of the, or the, near the yerech bone there, right? Near the bone, where it's rounded there, right? That's what we said. Remember, we learned from this pasuk also, we're going to have a discussion of this at the end, that we learned from this section of the pasuk, of kaf hayerech, that it's the rounded part, which means it's only, right, like a spoon, it's only on behemot and not ofot, because ofot, it's not rounded there. Amara papa kitinai. So now he's going to say what Shmuel said is a machloka tana'im between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Now we're not going to see just yet, but we're going to start with the machloka, and from there we're going to kind of branch out to show that Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim actually disagree about this. Achlo ve'ein bo kezayit chayav. Right, this is our Mishnah. If you eat it and it doesn't have a kezayit, then you're chayav anyway. In other words, if you eat the entire gid, you're going to be chayav even if there isn't a kezayit. That's Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad shehebo kezayit. Okay, now you have to eat a kezayit in order to be chayav. My time of the Rabbanan, briyahi. We've learned this before, right? He views the whole gid as an entire entity, just like we talked about bugs, right? Even if it's less than the shiur, you're still forbidden. For Rabbi Yehuda, achil ktiva be. It says al kein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael. Lo yochlu means they have to have a shir achila. Shir achila is only kezayit. So you're only going to chayav if you do a kezayit. The rabbanan, what do they do with achila? Hahi achila dekiit be arba'a b'chamisha zeitim ve'achal chad kezayit michayev. He says you need the achila to teach you. In other words, you might have taken chachamim to the extreme to say, well, it means right. If what did chachamim say? You have to eat the gid, meaning. If you eat the whole gid, you're chayav, even if it's not a kezayit. You could take that also to mean you have to eat the whole gid in order to be chayav. So when he looks at the word yochlu, he says, that teaches you there's a shir achila, even if you didn't eat the whole gid. So if you didn't eat the whole gid on Hashem, but you ate a kezayit of the gid, right? This is the revert, right? This is the opposite case, right? One is where the gid is so small. The other is, let's say, a big animal where the gid is much larger than a kezayit. It has four or five kezayitim, and you only ate a kezayit, you're still chayav. That's what he learns from achila. The Rabbi Yehuda, where's he going to learn that from? If he uses achila to say kezayit, so where's he going to learn? Maybe kezayit only means kezayit if it's the whole thing. But, you know, and it's his whole chidush was, if you eat the whole thing and it's not even kedai, you're not going to be chayav. So where is he going to learn? What if it's four or five zeitim and you only ate one kedai it's worth? Me'asher ala kaf nafka. Al kaf hayarech nafka. He learns it from this phrase, asher al kaf hayarech, which means it doesn't have to be the whole thing, right? As long as you eat part of it, you're going to be chayav. For Rabbanan, what does he do with asher al kaf hayarech? Here we finally get back to Shmuel now. Asher al kaf hayarech, he learns like Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, lo asra Torah, ela she'al kaf hayarech. It's only forbidden what's al kaf hayarech. So what do you see here? Right, Rabbi Yehuda, hayarech tiv, what does he do with hayarech? Okay, because again, Rabbi Yehuda uses achila to teach you, right? He uses achila to teach you your chayav only if you ate a kezayit. Then he uses me'asher al kaf hayarech to teach you even if you just eat some of it. But it doesn't teach you, it has, right? It's only the part that's al kaf hayarech, like chachamim do. Rabbi Yehuda, hayarech tiv, what does he learn from al kaf hayarech? Dekula yarech. Okay, and as he teaches you that it's the whole yarech. Okay, ha means the thigh, which means the whole thigh. So there you see the machloket, the Rabbi Yehuda says it's the entire thigh, and Chachamim say it's just asher al kaf hayarech. Okay, so they darshan it differently. So now we're going to have to say, though, we're still left with what do Rabbanan do with the hea yidia, because Rabbanan were focusing on the kaf hayarech. But according to that, it could just say al kaf yarech or something. So why did it say the hea yidia? Hahu de pashat isura bekule yarech. Lafuke chitzon dilo. Ah, what do they teach you? Hayarech comes to teach you. It's the thigh, right? The gi that goes through the entire thigh. Not that the entire thing is forbidden, but which gi is it? Is it the gi apnimi or the gi chitzoni? Right? It's the gi apnimi which goes down the entire yarech. Again, Chachamim say that's just to identify which gi, the inner or the outer. And then, because remember, the outer one was either only at the top or only at the bottom, right? Depending on whether you're Ashkenaz or Teman. But the inner one goes down the whole length of the thigh. And therefore, it comes to teach you that's the one that's forbidden. But Asher al kaf hayarech teaches you, but only the top part. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, al kaf hayarech, he focused on the hea yidya, teaching you it's the entire gid. Ula olam. Right, but it's only the part that you're forbidden is only the part that's ala kaf. But now they say, so they both darshan this thing about the kaf, though. Okay, they darshan it differently. But right, Rabbi Yehuda said me'asher al kaf hayarech came to teach you that your chayav only if you only eat part of it and not the whole thing, right? Because I had out of four or five zeitim, and Chachamim taught that it's only that part that's forbidden at the top. But how could both of them darshan that pasuk? But don't we need the kaf to teach us that only when it's rounded, but not in ofot where it's not rounded? Delele kaf, which don't have it rounded? So what do they answer? Tre kaf ktive. Notice the pasuk, what did it say? It said, Alkein lo yuchlu b'nei Yisrael l'kid anasher asher kaf hayarech. That's the first one. Ad yom hazeh. Ki nagav b'kaf yarech Yaakov b'gid anasher. So because it repeats it twice, it could have just said kinagabo or something, right? Didn't have to say exactly that. So the fact that there's two, they can each darshan, kaf telling you not of, and kaf telling you, again, either, according to Chachamim, just the top part, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the kaf hayerech meant, even if it's only part and not a whole, as long as you ate a kazayit, you're chayav. Okay, and that all branched out from their machloket, just to review, about whether if you ate the entire ghee but it didn't have a kezayit, would you be chayav or not? Right, whereas Chachamim say,
if it were really, really small.
Right, if it were really small.
Okay. Yeah. We're not talking a whole lot of practice.
It depends on the animal and how big it is. So if it's really small.
Almost any ghee would have several zeitim. I mean, you have to be.
And we're talking about a small section of the actual whole ghee.
Well, what were you talking about?
Right, so it's actually a good question. According to Chachamim, who say that it's only asher al kaf hayarech, so when they say that you ate the whole thing, do they mean just the part that was at the top? That's one thing I'm not 100% certain of, because it's not exactly a briyat, it's just that part, unless you say that that part is what they call Gita Nashe. Right, it's a good question. I would assume they mean eating the entire ghee, even though you don't have to take out the entire ghee, but if you would eat the entire ghee, I assume they mean the entire ghee and not just the little top part. That's what I would assume, but it's not 100% clear to me. Okay. New Mishnah. Yarech shenitbashel bagir hanashe, im yesh ba b'no tentan. This is fun because we keep referencing all these, right? This is the whole Mishnah that we saw before about this Mishnah proves that they think that the ghee does have ta'am. So if you take a yerech that the ghee hanashe was cooked in, im yesh ba b'no tentan, harezo asura. Okay, so if you cook the ghee hanashe with the yerech, if you taste, right, if it gives flavor to the meat, then it's asura. Now, obviously, it's going to be a little difficult. How do you know this? So, okay, Rosh is going to tell us that this is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. It comes up in another Gemara where it says, I think it's in Sukkah, where it says that this is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Ketzat, all right, it must be in the sugya. I didn't look at it, but there's a sugya all about shirim and stuff. It must be about that over there. Ketzat m'sha'arin ota kebasar belefet. We say if the amount, this, if you would cook meat with a turnip, would it give flavor to the turnip? So that amount of meat, right, you would compare the amount of gid, right, is analogous to the amount of meat. The amount of gid to the yerech is like the amount of meat in a lefet, okay? And if the lefet would get the flavor of the meat, then it would forbid it. Some people say this is just shishim. Some people say, no, this is a unique shior. Okay, it's its own shiur, and you'd have to, you know, try it out. Take that amount of meat, cook it in a lefet, and see if it actually gives flavor. Right? This is one of those examples where the Mishnah in different places, sometimes the Mishnah gives you a very clear-cut, defined, you know, measurable, this is, you know, you have to go experimenting to actually, you know, and also there's different meats. Some meat has more flavor, some meat has less flavor. It's obviously a little much more subjective here. Gid hanashe shenitbashel im hagidim, Bizman shemikiro. So what if you take a gid hanashe and you cook it with other gidim? Okay, so now if bizman shemikiro, if you know exactly which one is the gid hanashe, then it's going to be aser b'no tentam. In other words, you remove it, right? You could take it out of the mixture, and then it's just a matter: did it give its flavor into the rest of it or not? V'im lav, but if you don't, you can't identify it, all of them look the same, and it's in there, then asurim, then all of the gidim can't be eaten. Now the Gemara is going to ask later, why isn't it batal berov, right? If you have all these gidim, and you have one that's a gid hanashe, it should be batal berov, so why not? We'll get to that. V'harotev bin no tein tam. Okay, but the gravy, okay, in other words, that you can't eat the gidim because one of them is iser. But the gravy, it depends whether it was enough to give ta'am or not. V'chein chaticha shel nevela, v'chein chaticha shel dag tameh. Okay, the same halacha would be true if you have a piece of non-kosher meat or you have a piece of non-kosher fish. Shenitbashla im chatichot. Okay, so you have a number of chatichot. One of them you know is forbidden, but now they all look the same, right? Or it depends. Again, bizman shemikiran. So if you can identify, take it out of the batch, and then it's just a matter: was there enough? Was that piece of meat or fish big enough to have given taste? Vim lav kulan asurot v'harotev benotein tam. The same thing is going to be true. That otherwise they're all forbidden. However, you can have the rotev if it didn't have, if there was enough rotev against it to cancel out the flavor.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, very interesting halachot. We're going to have to deal with this in the upcoming Gemaras, not today.
Also, again, subjective because people taste different things or they have different levels of sensitivity.
Right. So then again, it depends what we call benotein tam. In other words, later on, again, this is the classic how things developed. In the Mishnah, they kind of say, well, if it gave flavor or not. Later on, they start defining, is this shishim, is it, right? And then they start giving measurable, because it's impossible to make it so, I mean, it's not impossible, but it makes it complicated if things are super subjective. So, you know, later on, they objectify things much more. There's actually a whole interesting debate about this Yerech, the first case, Yerech Shenit Bashel, Baba Notein Tam. So I just want to point out, like, these are the main dapim now for ta'arovet, like basar b'chalav and all that. Okay, these are going to be the basic dapim, right? We're getting to the real meat sugyas of...
the meaty stuff.
Yes, the meaty stuff of chulin. Maybe that's where it comes from. okay, but I wanted to point out one thing here. I just want to refresh my memory about it, that there's this debate about... I guess maybe we should talk about it more when we get into the Gemara, when it talks about it. But the Mishnah here talked about Yerach Shenis Bashel Bagid on Hashem, but what if there was other meat? And there's this, what if it was cooking with the Yerach and more of the meat? So there's actually a really interesting debate here about what they call Isur Davuk. Okay? The Gid is part of the Yerach. So does the Gid have to be canceled out to the Yerach? Or can you view the Gid as part of this whole big combination of Yerech with meat? So some people say, right, if there's meat also besides just the Yerech, right, remember, the Gid runs through the Yerech. So do we say we just have to have the Gid be batel, let's assume it's just shishim, for example, batel b'shishim into the whole mixture of the Yerech and the meat, and as long as there's a shishim of all of it, to the Gid, it's okay. Some people say, no, in a case where the Isur is Davuk, where this Gid is kind of sealed, it's part connected to the Yerech, it has to be batel to the Yerech. Otherwise, it's going to be problematic. Okay? In other words, so then you have to have Dine Beetle. It's very interesting. So anyway, that's we'll get into this more, I think, in the next upcoming Dapim. Okay, we'll just finish with Shmuel, which again, these are very basic laws of kashrut. Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela shenit bashelba. Notice this Mishnah was, if you cook it means with liquid, right? And what happens? All the juices combine and everything gets absorbed into everything. Aval nitzlaba, but if it was roasted with, right, the yerech with the gid inside, kolef ochel ad shemegia lagid. You can take off, okay, klipa is like to peel. You can peel off all the other layers and eat it until you get to the ghee, meaning everything's fine except for the ghee itself. So now the Gemara says, "Ini, really? Bahama Rav Huna, gdi shetzla'o bechelbo asur. If you roast a gdi in its fat, with the forbidden fats, it's asur le'echol afilu me'roshos. No, you can't even eat from the top of its ear. So how could, then that's roasting. So what do they answer? Shane chelev dimifa'apea. Okay, so they say chelev is different because it's fatty and the fat kind of
permeates
into all of the meat. Okay, so there's a few interesting things and we'll end with this, but number one, the sugya is problematic because generally we say with roasting, you have to actually, we call it kidei klipa. It's not enough to, you can't eat all the way down to the gid. You have to eat, you have to leave like a thin layer between, let's say in this case, the gid and the yerech, right? There would be a bit of the yerech that's forbidden. So there's a bit of a question here. How can this say that you don't need kidei klipa when in all these other sugyas they have kidei klipa? And the other thing is, how could you say chelev is different to mefa pea? Because we already learned that the shuman of the gid is also forbidden. So if the shuman of the gid is forbidden, there's also fat there, and the fat would also be mefa pea. So Rabbeinu Tam provides one. If you look in Tosfot, Dibor Matkil Shana Chelev de Mefa Pea, so it says Harav Rabbi Meir, but it's supposed to be it's the Ri. It's actually the Ri. Okay, Harav Ri. Barim mifarish dekevan de shuman hagid lo mitasar elami derabanan. Okay, the shuman was only derabanan. De gazru be'atu agi kishen agid oser gambo lo echmiru. Okay, they weren't machmir because the shuman was only forbidden derabanan, and therefore they weren't machmir. That's one. And Rabbeinu Tam, I knew it was Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is the line right before that. We're right like in the center of that Tosfot. The Rabbeinu Tam de shamno shel gid eino mefapea. He claims that the shuman of the gid is different than chelev. It's the different. Mirkam, a different texture or a different type of fat that doesn't permeate as much, okay? It's not as, so either it's a different type of fat or you just say the shuman of the ghee is only drabana, therefore we're not going to be machmir akadekach. Okay, so, interesting daf. Short, so we got to do extra things too.